Hi, and welcome to NYPD Through the Looking Glass, Stories from Inside, America's largest police department. I'm your host, retired NYPD detective turned author Vic Ferrari, and I want to give you an inside look of what it's like to become a New York City police officer and detective. If you get a chance, check out my books, NYPD Through the Looking Glass, Stories from Inside, America's largest police department, Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division, the NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos, and Confessions of a Catholic High School Graduate. All my books are available on Amazon for $10. They're paperback, about 240 pages, or $2.99 ebook download. Our call-in number for the show is 563-999-3789. So if you have any questions about the New York City Police Department or what it's like to become a cop, please call in and I'll talk to you. So my name is Vic Ferrari. I'm a Bronx kid, born and raised, lower middle class family, grew up a stone's throw from the Cross Bronx Expressway. And from an early age, I knew I wanted to become a police officer. When I was about 5 years old, my grandfather had broken his leg in a snowstorm. And sometime during the afternoon, these two big cops brought my grandfather home. And I remember as a little boy just staring at these guys in their blue and gold uniform and just being in awe of how they lifted my grandfather through the snow and carried him home. So that kind of planted the seed of why I wanted to become a police officer. And then later on, when I was about, I don't know, about 7 or 8 years old, my mother would take me to the local movie theater, which is right around the corner from an NYPD police station. And when we would be going to see Herbie the Love Bug or whatever that matinee was playing on a Saturday, I would be fixated on that police station. Sometimes I'd run away from my mother and I'd run over to the cops and I'd start talking to them and asking them all sorts of questions, as much as a 7 or 8 year old could ask. I also used to look into the police cars and press my face up against the glass and wonder what it was like to be a cop and staring at that equipment and getting into car chases, and I just knew what I wanted to do. And then, you know, a couple of years later, I'm in my early teens and my friends and I are going to the local post office and we're stealing FBI wanted posters off the wall and we're wandering around the neighborhood conducting manhunts looking for fugitives. Now, we're lucky we didn't get pummeled for going into the local deli and trying to size up some poor construction worker getting a sandwich with a guy wanted for a bank robbery in Alabama, but it was kind of the thing to do back then. So I had a couple of friends that had become a cop earlier than I did, and they provided me with a lot of information, what to say on interviews, what not to say, and so on. So at about 20 years old, I took the exam. I got a letter in the mail, come down to Left Rack Plaza out in Queens, and begin the process. So when you become a New York City, or let's back up, to become a candidate, to go into the police academy, you have to fill out oodles and oodles of paperwork, and you have to provide a lot of things. Social security number, every place you ever worked, references, your neighbor's phone numbers, all sorts of stuff. And they do a thorough background check. I remember them coming to every job I ever worked at, asking questions. They spoke to my neighbors. While your background check is going on, you start going for testing. So in my time, which was 1987, they brought us down to the police academy. It was something like 500 recruits at a time. They put us in this large room, and the whole day we took psychological exams. And it was just nonstop. One of the tests, I believe, was called the Minnesota Aptitude Test, which is basically the same questions asked over and over again, but differently. Do you love your mother? Did you love your mother? Do you like women? Do you like tall women? Do you like short women? They're trying to get a baseline of your personality. Another thing with the psychologicals I had to do was I had to draw a man, a house, and a tree. Now, my artwork is terrible. I took my friend's advice. I drew the largest man I could with a big smile on his face waving. The tree, I drew a tremendous tree with a lot of birds chirping and on the branches. And the house, I drew a big house with lots of windows. I drew a door with no locks. That's what my friend told me to do anyway. And I took all these exams. Afterwards, about maybe 6 months later, you get called out to Left Rack Plaza, which is the NYPD's medical board, and you have to sit with a psychologist. So I'm sitting in this room with about 20 other recruits, and they're getting called in one by one. And I was lucky enough that I sat right next to the door, so I could hear the psychologist speaking after the candidate would leave the room. And what I quickly realized was they were interpreting everything everybody drew. So I could hear them say, look at this guy's man. He's really small. He must be suffering from low self-esteem. So I knew that I had kind of knocked it out of the park as far as my drawings were concerned. While that was going on, my investigator, who was assigned to do my background check, she absolutely hated me because I was bored coming out of high school, and I had a million and one menial jobs. I worked at the airport cleaning planes. I worked in a boiler room selling newspaper ad space somewhere out in Queens. I unloaded trucks for UPS. I delivered pizza. I was an exterminator. You knew it. I mean, you name it, I did it. It was kind of like catch me if you can. I would leave my house with one job and come back with another. My father absolutely wanted to choke me. I remember the day when the Challenger blew up. I was home watching television, and my dad came home from work. And I, he comes to the door, and I'm like, Dad, what are you doing home early? He goes, get your jacket. We're going out to Queens. I said, for what? He says, we're going to go out to Queens, and I'm going to sign you up for the electrician's exam. I go, well, I want to be a cop. He goes, yeah, that's great. He says, but if that falls through, you can be an electrician. I'm like, but Dad, the Challenger blew up. He goes, Vic, listen to me. If you don't put your jacket on, you're going to blow up. So he dragged me out to Queens, and I signed up for the exam. And then a couple of weeks later, I purposely tanked the exam, and my father wanted to kill me. Luckily for me, after about a year and a half, I got an acceptance letter. I went down to Manhattan, and there was this big board. And back then, the NYPD was composed of three police departments. You had the NYPD, the New York City Police Department, the New York City Transit Police, and the Housing Police. And I think the Housing Police and the Transit Police, they were funded federally. So even though we all worked together, it was basically three separate police departments, but one test covered them all. So I went down there, looked my name up on the board. I did not want to go to Housing or Transit. And luckily for me, I wound up going to City, NYPD. So a couple of weeks later, I go down to the police. I go down to, I think it was Fashion Institute of Technology, and they had us in this large auditorium, and we're all in suits and ties, and you got these police academy instructors yelling and screaming at us. You know, they're trying to get us conditioned before we go into the academy. What I quickly realized is most of these police academy instructors were only a couple of years older than me. So it dawned on me, like, I'm 21. How does this guy 26 or 27 years old, who looks brand new out of the box himself, how is he in the police academy? Well, what you come to find out is the police academy basically is comprised of guys that don't want to work. They're studying for the sergeant's exam. They put in very little street time, and they hide in the police academy, bossing the recruits around. So it was kind of Lord of the Flies that way, in that you had guys a couple of years older than us bossing us around. And I absolutely despise the police academy. I actually thought about dropping out a couple of times because, unfortunately for me, I do not do well with authority, which going into a paramilitary organization took a while for me to figure that out. The police academy wasn't difficult. It just was a lot. The physical requirements, I mean, it's not like I went in there as a Navy SEAL. I was stacking shelves at the local Grand Union. But, you know, it was just basically running, push-ups, sit-ups, a little bit of boxing. It really wasn't that difficult, the physical aspect of it. But you had cops in there that were huffing and puffing and wheezing. And I remember we had to do a mile or a mile and a half run alongside the FDR Drive. There's a walkway there. And I remember during my running exercise that a couple of the kids looked like dying goldfish in a bowl. They're just sucking air. So the police academy was 6 months of hell for me. There's a story in my book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos. There was a guy in the academy with us who was a couple of years older. So we were in our early 20s, and this guy was 26, 27. He had worked on Wall Street. He was basically a man where we were boys, and he wasn't afraid of anything, to the point where he would do things that none of us would even think about doing. He was out partying all the time, and the guy had a genius IQ. Like, he would come into the police academy hungover, sit in the front of the classroom while the rest of us are writing things down. You would think he wasn't even paying attention. And while we were off studying after class, he could pass an exam. He was an idiot savant and could basically absorb information half asleep. So that enabled him to party and do all sorts of things. Well, what we find out in the police academy is He burns his car for the insurance money, and he can fart on command. So while we're in the academy running laps, this guy can just fart. And the instructors couldn't figure out where it was coming from in the hallways and would yell and scream and pull us out of class and have what was called return roll call, which is basically like detention if you ever went to Catholic school, where you got to stand outside at attention for 45 minutes while they yell and scream at you not to fart in the auditorium. So after I graduated from the police academy, I got assigned to the 4-2 precinct in the South Bronx. And, well, no, wait, let's back up. I went to field training in the South Bronx for 6 months. And field training is, back then, you were assigned, it was probably about 30 rookies to a field training unit, and there were four or five different sergeants. And what they would do is they would sprinkle you out on foot posts across these four precincts in the South Bronx. And basically, it was baptism by fire. You had to figure things out. I remember my first day out of the academy in field training, standing there, and a robbery in progress came over the radio. Now, it was miles away, but in my mind, it was around the block, and I took off running, and then I realized, well, hold on a second, that's like 2 miles away. Why am I running to this? So I had to learn how to have an ear tuned for the radio. On top of that, you've got people coming up to you asking you questions and coming to you for help, sometimes in Spanish, which I didn't know Spanish. I mean, I took 6 months of remedial Spanish in freshman year of high school, but that wasn't going to get me through what I needed to know dealing with the Hispanic public. So these are just a couple of stories of what it's like to become a New York City police officer and how the process works. This is my first podcast, so give me a break. It will get better. But I do encourage you, if you want to know more about me or my books, you can go to the Amazon book section and type in Vic, V-I-C, Ferrari like the car. And my book library will come up. And like I said earlier, my books are NYPD Through the Looking Glass, Stories from Inside America's Largest Police Department, the NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos. There's actually a story in that book about a cop stealing a horse and carriage over by the Plaza Hotel for a wild ride through Central Park. Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division, which is everything you wanted to know about the stolen car industry, including a car thief's mindset, what happens to your car after it's stolen, where do the parts go, who's making money on it, et cetera, et cetera. NYPD Law and Disorder, that was my latest NYPD book, and that's about things that went wrong and embarrassing moments in the NYPD, including me hanging my gun belt on the back of a bathroom stall and almost getting it stolen. And my latest book, Confessions of a Catholic High School Graduate, deals with growing up in the Bronx and going to Catholic high school and how that straightened me out and my path to becoming a New York City police officer. So if you live in the Bronx or you're interested in the New York City Police Department, go to the Amazon book section, type in my name, Vic Ferrari, and my book library will come up. And like I said earlier, all my books are $10 or $2.99 ebook download. If you want to get a hold of me for an interview or you got questions, or just go to Twitter or Instagram, you can look me up at VicFerrari50. And my profile come up, and, you know, you can send me a comment. You could, you know, tell me my podcast sucks, or you've got questions, or you'd like to have me on as a guest for your podcast or radio show. I'm all ears. So, again, my name is Vic Ferrari. Thank you for tuning into the show. Next episode will be better, I promise you, and I'll have more funny and interesting stories from the New York City Police Department. Thank you again. Have a good weekend, and God bless.